I'm going to bring a charge to these three men. It'll be brief. From 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll read verses 12 to 18, but we're only going to look at verses 16 and 18. Give heed to the reading of God's holy, inerrant, and infallible word, for it is your God who speaks. Beginning in verse 12. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Brothers, I charge you tonight in particular, as we look at this passage, the three commands in particular, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. We could spend hours, as Bill mentioned in his sermon, unpacking this, but these last several weeks have been a bevy of communications for you, have been filled with all manner of matters that are tyranny of the urgent. And always when the tyranny of the urgent comes upon you, there is this drive to act and to leave off that which is of first importance. To give thanks, to pray, and to rejoice. These are not our native elements as we are in this world filled with sin, and it brings us down. And so as we think through, and as you are admonished by this text, brothers, it is essential for you to understand that you have been given gifts and graces of God to fill this office. That's what brought how God brought you here. But they are not sufficient. They are gifts and graces, and you must fly to Christ daily, momentarily, constantly, because you are incapable. And I don't say this lightly. I don't say this anything about you in particular. You have called to an office that you are not able to fulfill. So as the Lord has given you these gifts and graces for the office, it's too easy to rely upon your native talents, your instincts, and not rest upon the giver of the gifts and graces. So if you discharge your duties as elders, it must be all by the power of God and for the glory of God. Reactions and instincts can be helpful, but rejoicing, praying, and thanksgiving are necessary. Notice how Paul undergirds this command to always rejoice, to pray without ceasing, and thanksgiving in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So what's God's will in all your circumstances? That you rejoice, that you pray, and that you give thanks. So the will of God is that you rejoice, that you pray, and that you give thanks. While it is normal to rejoice in good times of God's mercies, to cry out for mercy during adversity, and to give thanks in prosperity, those who live by faith in the Son of God know that all things, both prosperity and want, ease and hardship, better or worse, as the vow goes, are not accidents, nor even ultimately the result of the schemes of the devil and his hosts. They are good gifts from the Father above. So all things are come down from the Father of lights, the giver of every good and perfect gift. So, brothers, in particular, I know all of you are able to quote, and we know that those who love God, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. Yet if you are to live as shepherds of this congregation, you must rejoice, pray, and give thanks in the midst of all things, both the hardships and the celebrations, both the agonies and the blessings. And so as you come now and thinking through entering into this office, rejoice. As Paul says elsewhere, not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound in any and every circumstance. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now we all know Philippians 4:13 is completely used out of context 99% of the time. But in this context, it is Christ who shall strengthen you for the office as you rejoice in it, as you pray, and as you give thanks to him. If you are to take care of the flock that God has entrusted to you, to govern them, to care for them, you must rely wholly and completely upon the triune God. Your strength will fail. Your knowledge will fail. Your abilities will fail. Self-reliance is a quick and speedy road to burnout and failure. Christ is sufficient. Christ is, he's the king of the church. You are his under-shepherds. You are governing under his authority. So your prayers will feed your rejoicing and your thanksgiving. Prayerlessness will lead you to bickering, grumbling, and ingratitude as we see in the wilderness. So the Lord has called you to this office, an office that is a high task and burden that you cannot accomplish. But rest in this, Christ is able, and he will accomplish all his purposes. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So I'll close with this. In the carousel of church life, brothers, always remember to rejoice, to pray, and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you.